We are continuing in this series that has been going on for longer than I can remember now, but it's hopefully still going to be good for you. We are looking again at what the coming of Jesus into our world and into our lives means for us. And step by step through this epiphany, we are hoping to be a little bit more enlightened. So we turn now to chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, and we will eventually get to verse 17 through 23, I think it says, but I want to start just a little bit earlier in verse 12. Now, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." May the Lord give us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What a doozy, huh? Yeah. So, for us, right? For us here in this place, for us here in this nation, it is hard to not hear these words as a finger pointed straight in our face, right? As an admonition to us. And I will let you sit with that. You can take that home with you. You know, you can keep that. There's a little bit of that there. But what I want to focus on this morning is the fact that there is an invitation. There's an invitation in these words for all of us. There's an invitation into what these words call the kingdom of God. And let's go back through some of the things that are said here. It talks about being full. Can you remember the last time you were full? Probably for most of us wasn't that long ago. Most of us are doing pretty well in that regard. But remember what it's like to eat, to be full, to be satisfied, to be nourished, to sit back and feel that satisfaction of being full. What about laughing? Does anybody remember what it feels like to laugh? Just to laugh. That feeling of laughter. What does it mean to be consoled? To be consoled. Most of you probably had children or nieces or nephews or grandchildren. What does it mean to console a child? Right? It means when something is wrong in their world, you make it as right as you can. Right? You console them. You not only bring them comfort in that moment, but you try to offer a place for them where they feel like they will always be comforted, consoled,
They're in a place of consolation. Put it all together. When's the last time you were sitting at a table, filled, nourished, at peace, laughing? Maybe with your family gathered around, maybe out to eat with friends. Do you know that feeling? All those feelings together? That is what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. That is what the one who created this whole world and gifted it to us and gifted us our very lives, that is what God desires for everyone in this room and everyone outside of this room, no matter where they are on God's good creation. It's what it would be like if God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven. God's love, God's kingdom, God's salvation is for everyone. And it's supposed to look like laughter and fullness and consolation. Shalom is the ancient Hebrew word. That's what it's supposed to look like. But it's not the reality on the ground. And it's not the reality on the ground partly because when people amass a certain degree of riches, it's usually not enough. And they want to amass more riches. And when they do, it's usually not enough. And they want to amass more riches. And you can guess what, and that, sir, it's not enough. Usually when people are amassing riches upon riches upon riches, there's a bunch of people who are amassing emptiness, hunger, and desperation. So it's not because God loves poor people more that we hear about poor people in the Bible. It's because God loves everyone exactly the same, but the world tends to console those who gain riches more than it consoles the people who are poor, because they are hungry and they don't have shelter. And they don't know where their next meal is coming from or where their kids' next meal is coming from. And the plain reality of that is that that is not the way that God wants to see God's children. So over and over again, when people hear the voice of God and speak with the voice of God, they talk about poverty and riches because that is not what God's kingdom looks like. Now, I'm not saying that there's some picture of everybody having the exact same amount of everything and it's just all one flat line in everybody's bank account. But over and over again, if you read the scriptures, there is things put in place, laws put in place, words put in place, directives put in place, commands put in place, beatitudes and woes put in place to say, look up. Look up every once in a while. It is not just about you, your house, your family, your gated community, your walled-in nation, your whatever it is. It's not just about that. Look up every once in a while. Just like Jesus comes down from the mountain, sees all these people around him, looks up, sees people who need healing, sees people in his midst who are hungry and poor, desperate for his power to come out of him into their lives. And he says, in God's kingdom, you are blessed. In God's kingdom, you are full. In God's kingdom, you will lack. Now, what happens to us, right, is that, so it was good that Jesus said that. It's good that Jesus took care of that, you know, for us. But what does that, what's that have to do with us, right? Let's remember that this is God's work. Right? Our world belongs to God. But God gave this world to us. God gave this world as a gift to us so that we might enjoy fullness and laughter and consolation, because God is living and moving around us, trying to bring that out in every place that is possible. But sin, right, and selfishness, greed, looking in only at ourselves, has made it so this world does not look like that. You know, I think right now it's one in five children in our nation live in poverty. 1 in 5. In Virginia alone, 51% of children in Virginia are either in poverty or in low income. That means twice the poverty line, right? 51%, half of the children in our state, which means that at some point in their lives, they're food insecure. Do you know what that means? Like, they don't know where their next meal might come from. We can come up with all kinds of reasons why that's the case, right? And there may be some bad people in that 50% of parents, you know, of the parents of those kids. Yes. But we also know that there's some bad people in those people who are the top, you know, 400 richest people in our nation that own 64% of the wealth. We know there's bad people in that too, right? The answer is not to figure out who's bad and who's good, right? Because God is looking at us all the same way, offering salvation and forgiveness to all of us in the same way. And it's not what this text is about. The text is about the fact that once you realize that God loves you, once you realize that Jesus came to save us from the very sin that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do, once you realize that the Spirit has been poured into your heart so that you can live into the life that God is calling us to, once you realize that, you've got to look up and look at the world the way it is. And look at the way the world that God wants it to be, and say, I'm going to step in to that place and be the person and the people that God wants me and us to be. That's the whole reason why we've been gifted with this creation in the first place, and why we've been gifted and graced with the salvation that Jesus brought for us, so that we could return again to be the people God wants us to be and to create with God the world that God wants to see. Look at practical steps.
right? Let's look at what the text suggests for us. I started with verse 12 because I think it's important. In the morning, he went up to the mountain to pray. Right? We have to begin by connecting ourselves with the God who's trying to call this kingdom into existence. We have to go to the place where we pray and connect ourselves with that God again. Maybe instead of, you know, watching the news or listening to the radio or whatever the thing is that's telling you the exact opposite of what I'm telling you right now. Go and pray. He goes down from there and gathers disciples around him. Don't try to do it alone. You go to God because you're not doing it alone. You find other people to be in community with because you don't want to do it alone. Because it's not for you. It's for the whole world. And then, these simple things. Is what I'm doing moment to moment, it is a blessing for the poor? Is it a blessing for the poor? Is it a blessing for the hungry? Is it a blessing for those who are so stuck in whatever they are that their life is full of weeping and sadness? Is it a blessing for them? Let us pray. Loving God, it is a struggle to overcome the world would have us be, to overcome all that we are pulled and dragged into by this world. But as the anthem said, you came and you know our struggles, you know the way through, and you have sent your Spirit in our hearts to lead and guide us. Give us humble hearts. Help us to be a people of your kingdom, people of blessing to those who are poor, hungry, who need to be filled, who need to laugh, who need to be consoled. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.